From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Super Tuesday results are in, and boy, what a difference just a few days can make. After polls a week ago suggested Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders would have a big night on March 3rd, he won only four states, while former Vice President Joe Biden won 10. Biden had struggled to make traction in early states that were voting until his Saturday win in South Carolina, and then the consolidation of centrist candidates and political figures behind him, such as Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Beto O'Rourke. We turn now to Julio Ricardo Varela. He is the digital media director for Futuro Media, founder of LatinoRebels.com, one of the top U.S. Latino media sites. He was formerly a digital producer for Al Jazeera America's The Stream, and his work has been featured in The Guardian, ESPN, The New York Times, Quartz, Le Monde, Univision, and Telemundo as well. Julio, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's get your general assessment of what took place Tuesday before we get to what seems to be a big question, which is who turned out and why. So were you shocked, as I think many people were?
Yeah, you know, the one that really shocked me, and I'm actually based in Massachusetts. I'm actually talking to you from Detroit right now because I'm going to be on In the Thick. We're doing a live In the Thick podcast and covering the Michigan primary. But I'm from Massachusetts. I think that's the biggest surprise of the night. No one saw that coming. You know, as a political journalist, obviously I'm covering national states, but obviously, you know, Massachusetts is my state. So I was living there, and the literature was really Bloomberg, Sanders, maybe some Warren. The ads were Bloomberg and Warren. Biden never showed up. Biden was never really mentioned. He was polling, I believe, in single digits as late as February. And what was fascinating about this, Sonali, is that I kind of, you know, white affluent suburbs, and you start looking at some of those counties. I went out and when I was in Nevada, for example, I didn't go to East Las Vegas because everyone else wanted to look at the Latino vote. I kind of knew that Sanders was going to do well. That it was every indication was that he was going to do well in Nevada. So I went to a place like Henderson, Nevada, which is very affluent, very white, very liberal, very educated. And there, like, Bernie Sanders is, you know, labeled as the Democratic Socialist. And I think that's what also happened in Massachusetts, where, you know, outside of Boston, there's a lot of affluent, white, liberal suburbs that, to be honest with you, aren't that into Elizabeth Warren. I mean, even though she is the senior senator of Massachusetts, and it was really, no one saw Massachusetts coming. I really thought that when you saw 10,000 people in the Boston Common in Boston on Saturday with Bernie Sanders, that, you know, it was going to be him and Warren, the progressives. Massachusetts is a super liberal state. It was, you know, it could have been Warren, could have been Sanders, but Biden came from nowhere. And also you have to remember that Bloomberg, who's now out of the race, he was born in Medford, Massachusetts. So he was the native son. So I know there's a lot of things to talk about, but to me, that was when I was like, wow, this is a big night for Joe Biden. And, you know, five states he didn't even campaign in, and Massachusetts was one of them. It's just amazing.
There is a lot of focus on who voted. Let's talk about that. Political journalist described the suburban surge that helped save Joe Biden, referring to what you were just saying. These suburbs are populated, according to this writer, Kevin Robillard, these suburbs are populated with a type of white, typically college-educated voters who have bounced from candidate to candidate over the course of the campaign, like Goldilocks choosing her bowl of porridge. In Iowa, it was former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg who was just right following a strong debate performance. And then Klobuchar took the title in New Hampshire. Voters in both states often describe Biden as too old and perhaps unable to take on President Donald Trump. But both of those candidates faded in the more diverse states. Then, of course, you had Klobuchar and Buttigieg throwing their support behind Biden. And there are reports now of people undecided about whom to pick for president on their way to the polls and standing in the voting booth and making last minute decisions. And it's a lot of those last minute voters that seem to have picked Biden. That leads me to suggest corporate media coverage on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and early Tuesday might have played a big role, saying Biden's the guy now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about free media. And, I want to step back and understand the power of free media, because I was trying to think about this as to why, right? And, we have to be honest with ourselves about the Biden campaign. They really didn't start that well. It just didn't start well. They didn't do well in Iowa. They didn't do well in New Hampshire. They got crushed by the Latino vote in Nevada. And even though they eked a second place finish, there were indications that Bernie Sanders was going to do well on Tuesday night in regards to Nevada. So the big thing here to me is sort of the notion of the kingmaker and Jim Clyburn, who's the House Majority Whip. Out of South Carolina, something happened. Something happened in that campaign. And I think there's that.
He backed Biden, and that helped propel Biden to a win in South Carolina.
I think we really, I'm trying to figure out, what is a diverse electorate, right? South Carolina is definitely, going into South Carolina as a strategy is very, it's very conventional. Right. There's been examples of South Carolina propelling candidates, Bill Clinton, John McCain, George, you know what I mean? It's like there are other ones that I can't think of, like all of a sudden I'm spacing out other names, but, Hillary Clinton, but other candidates. But what's interesting is that was seen, because it was such a big landslide for Biden, it was immediately concluded that this was it. And I'm trying to compare the Nevada results for Sanders to the South Carolina ones, because in reality, Biden got – that was a landslide for Sanders, but you were still – the coverage wasn't there, but I was on the ground, and there was a lot of indication on the ground that Bernie Sanders was going to win and win big. And that's where I think there was a shift. And I don't want to put it all on corporate media as well, because I do think the Biden campaign saw the opportunity. I think they, this whole reaching out to other moderate candidates, however people think, it was a smart play. Did it play in certain states and others? Yes. Looking at the Sanders campaign, at least in the context of African American voters, it's a challenge. Also, the other thing is a lot of young people, Sanders saying we need to get young people out to vote. If you look at the exit polls, young people did not get out to vote compared to older voters.
Right. So there's indications that they showed up to the Sanders rallies, but not to the voting booths on Tuesday night.
Right. And I want to say one thing, because one of the things that is completely being missed about this, and I was like, I'm trying to contain myself, is that there's this, is the Latino vote, right? I think it's safe to say, and this is what I've said, Sanders has that support in the West, which is you start seeing more that electorate, which is much more progressive, much more Mexican and Mexican American, much younger. And he did well in Colorado. He did extremely well in California. And here's the thing, and no one's talking about this. He did really well in the border counties of Texas. He won El Paso. He won San Antonio.
And in spite of Beto O'Rourke throwing his weight behind Biden.
That's what. And if you look at the map, I just urge your listeners and your people that watch you to look at the counties, the entire border counties. Maybe I think there was one. Maybe. It all went to Sanders. And if you go to California, if you look at California, San Diego and Imperial County, the two counties in California that border the Mexican border, they also went to Sanders. So I'm starting to, the Latino population, the Latino vote came for Bernie Sanders. But I think the difference is what you're seeing is that he didn't get enough of the African-American vote in certain places. Although if you look at the California exit polls, it was more multiracial. It was more, in terms of the Asian population, the Black population, and the Latino population. But I think that's where the challenge is, because what we're seeing is sort of a Latino population that hasn't been outreached by the Democratic Party. The Sanders campaign invested money in it, and I will say one thing. Any other campaign that had done it this cycle would probably have gotten similar results. But also, you know, and people aren't talking about that there's a dissatisfaction by Latinos. They're mostly independent leaning, even though they lean democratically, with the Biden-Obama administration. So this whole notion of like Biden saying it was a mistake, like he had an interview with Jorge Ramos of Univision before Nevada, that it was a mistake about the deportations, everyone saw through that as instant pandering. And I think no matter what happens here, and I've said this on Twitter, and a lot of people are agreeing with me, a lot of people I don't think get what I'm saying, but I'm gonna go with the people that agree with me, is that no matter what happens in this two-person race, if Joe Biden, you know, if he becomes a nominee and if he does not get Latinos excited about a national general election, they're not gonna come out to vote in November. And Donald Trump will get his second term. And you heard it here, Sonali. You can record it. If you want to play it again in November, you're more than happy to clip me. Because that's where I think Joe Biden kind of has to come and use the same connection that he has with the Black community and begin to understand that he has to repair a relationship with the fastest growing ethnic electorate in the United States.
Are you suggesting that it's a done deal, that Biden surmounted enough delegates to get past Sanders, that regardless of how many primary races are left, that Sanders will not be able to come back?
I'm not saying that yet. And I was just kind of using that as a scenario, mm-hmm. because I do think like, so here's the thing, I'm in Michigan, right? I've been talking to people in Michigan. I'm actually in Detroit. Obviously, I've talked to younger voters. I've talked to journalists. There is this sense of there's a hangover right now, like in terms of the progressive community in Michigan. And what you're seeing here and what people are saying is that sort of like the traditional Black voter in Detroit or in places in Michigan is looking down the Biden route. And then the young POC progressive voter that has been here is kind of going for Bernie. Bernie Sanders won Michigan in 2016, and I'm not ready to say that this is a Biden thing, but what's happening, what's really interesting, that at least the Sanders supporters have told me, is that they're starting to question whether, we'll go with the primary, but are we going to vote in November? Because there's a loyalty to Bernie Sanders there's something there that if a campaign like Joe Biden does not realize that, and doesn't tap into that energy of a movement, because, you know, I was skeptical, Sonali. I mean, I was like, when Sanders like said, oh, I'm gonna run again, I was like, are people gonna feel the burn again? Every young Latinos by far, and I'm not talking just like the West, I'm talking the East Coast, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez effect. I know everyone's talking about Sanders in Florida and the Castro thing and the comments. There's a lot of young Latinos who are progressive in Florida, and I don't think, you know, the single narrative of the Cuban narrative is not the only narrative in the Latino electorate. And anyone that tells you it's just so simplistic. So, but that is what I think Obama was able to tap into in 2008, this sort of like Latino electorate, and Biden needs to tap into the Sanders enthusiasm, and to just dismiss it, I think would signal a loss for Democrats.
Well, I feel that if Biden does end up the nominee, there's going to be a tremendous amount of browbeating of Sanders voters to get in line. Instead of trying to actually win over voters, it's going to be you're choosing between Trump and Biden. This is about beating Trump. And this is a predictable scenario that is going to play out if Biden's the nominee.
This is the same. This is why I'm kind of like with Democrats. And here's the thing, like this is and Sonali, like this is something that I'm glad we're talking about this, because, you know, if you talk about this online or with other places or on other networks, like you and I would probably have our hands slapped. I'm sorry. We would be browbeated for actually daring to bring this up. Yeah. You know, the point being is what happened in 2016? Who won? Right? Who was the candidate for Democrats? What did they do? They chose two moderates. They chose Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. Did they win? They didn't win. So if we expect the Biden campaign to kind of take a playbook from the Hillary Clinton playbook of 2016, then President Donald Trump will be, you know, he's going to win his second term.
And there, it's clear that Biden is already doing that after Bloomberg quit and threw his support behind Biden. The first thing Biden did, who's, I'm sure, very excited about taking Bloomberg's money because he's out of campaign cash, he said, right, this is about stopping Trump. This is about defeating Donald Trump. And with your help, meaning your financial help, we're going to do it. It's not about making the country a better place. It's just about beating Trump. And that's, Clinton said, I'm not Trump. That was essentially the sum of her platform, which was, and she thought it would be enough. And of course, with the Electoral College, that wasn't enough.
Right. And I think that's the part where I believe people are missing out on what Bernie Sanders is bringing into this process. He's bringing Latino voters. I mean, in the fastest growing sectors of the country. It's not just about Florida. It's not just about Miami. I'm sorry. I have a lot of friends in Miami. I have a lot of friends who are Cuban and Cuban Americans. There is political power happening in Mexican American communities, in Chicano communities, in Puerto Rican communities, even in Dominican communities in New York or in places. Do not discount the AOC effect, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez effect in this. We don't know what's going to happen.
What happened in Texas, Julio? What do you think happened in Texas? Texas was also a state that there were high hopes for Bernie.
Well, here's the thing. I think what happened is, you know, Texas does lean a little bit more moderate. But I'm also saying the point about Texas is people need to remember that Bernie got, like, landslided by Clinton in 2016. And he won a lot of districts back, mostly Latino, like Latino.
Right, as you were saying, along the border.
Districts. But my point that I was going to say is, like, if people are just going to say, well, we got to join and beat Trump and just take that for granted, especially when you start looking at the fact, and people need to look at the data. Latino voters, yes, they lean Democratic, but they're more independent leaning as well. And they see both parties as sort of like, there's no, like, real loyal. We're not talking about the African-American vote right now. It's not tradition. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like this is an opportunity for the Democratic Party and for Joe Biden to be like, hey, we need to reset this. We understand that there's issues with the Obama administration regarding, you know, our broken promises on immigration, our increased immigration deportation. We have to admit that we set the stage for Trump. Can you imagine if Joe Biden said that we set an enforcement strategy that has led to Donald Trump? They don't want to do that.
Right.
Because that goes against their narrative. But I'm telling them, the moment they do that, at least you can start having the conversation and at least the healing can begin. And the more that the establishment of Democrats continues to ignore that issue, we're going to still have this conversation. You're still going to have the progressive lane against the moderate lane, and it's going to be the browbeating and everyone needs to step in line. And I'm telling you, it's like these young Latino voters, they don't have the loyalty yet. So you have to earn their vote. You have to speak to them. And that's why Bernie Sanders and his campaign invested the money into this campaign, and it showed in the results. Even though, it's a growing, it's a new growing electorate. One thing that Bernie Sanders has done, he has changed the landscape on how to strategize with Latino voters for the rest of the history of this country in electoral politics. And that's a big deal. Right. And anyone that's not talking about that and it gets dismissed, I don't want that story to be erased.
Julio, just going back to what it was that changed the race before Super Tuesday, Michael Moore made the point that it was quite shocking to see Pete Buttigieg drop out, and that, you know, he doesn't remember a time when a candidate who wins Iowa, he actually was technically the winner of Iowa, although Sanders won the popular vote there, but still he was the official winner of the Iowa caucus, and went on to withdraw before Super Tuesday. Seemed like a very strategic move. And he and Klobuchar are calling them, Beto O'Rourke, are calling themselves the fresh face, the fresh diverse face, even though they're all white, of the Democratic Party.
I mean, first of all, let's be real. I think both Buttigieg and Klobuchar saw the writing on the wall. And they
But it might have been a very different race had they just stayed in through Tuesday.
I agree with you, but I also think that they're both in the end. They're trying to retire. They want to ride their political future peak. So I understand Pete Buttigieg saying, you know what, I'm not going to do well on Tuesday. So I'm trending up right now. Let me just stay up here. But I think the point that you're making about the new faces and the diversity, I also got slammed online for this, but I was very, when Beto O'Rourke came out, before Super Tuesday and endorsed Joe Biden on the stage in Dallas, and there was a part of me that I was watching it, so I'm like, please don't speak Spanish. Please don't speak
Did he?
He did. He introduced, like, he got that clip, and it was just so, it just felt like what Democrats have done in the past.
Yeah.
And thinking that, you know, and in their eyes, and this is what I think, is because the Democratic Party still takes Latino voters for granted and didn't, you know, other candidates, unlike Bernie Sanders, did not like strategically look at this electorate through a campaign strategy. I mean, Amy Klobuchar, seriously, Pete Buttigieg, they were getting 1-2%. I mean, she was talking about her Spanish name was Elena in grade 4 in Spanish class. So the point being is that you're still seeing this notion that, well, if you speak Spanish, and if you just like say, hey, you know, that's enough, that's going to get people out. I think it helped a little bit with Biden, but I also think that the younger, the newer voters, new citizen voters, there's a Pew Research study that came out that no one talked about last week. 1 in 10 of like new vote, like voters this year are like, are new citizens. Like, that's like, I mean, they're immigrants. There's a growing population. And I believe that if the Democratic Party were serious and understand, if they begin to sow the seeds into establishing those relationships now, it's going to pay off the next 3, 4, 5 election cycles. But instead, what you see are the same typical Hispandering moments. And it was cringeworthy. And yeah, sure, Biden won Texas, but he didn't win the traditional Democratic border counties. Hmm. That's a fact. And he didn't win El Paso. So something's not connecting. You know what I'm saying?
It's very likely that Biden is in the process of making a decision to pick a running mate. Some have suggested that he's in cahoots with Kamala Harris. What do you make of Elizabeth Warren? She is, as you and I are talking, she may have already made her decision, I don't know, by the time this airs. But as you and I are talking, she is reassessing the race. She performed very poorly on Super Tuesday. There were a lot of calls for her to drop out before Super Tuesday, but I didn't think that was necessarily a good strategy. I mean, she had the right to remain in the race. But now what she does after she drops out, because that's looking likely, is who she will endorse.
I mean, you know, Elizabeth Warren can do whatever she wants. And I think, I'm going to be, you know, she is my, you know, the senior senator of where I live. So I've seen her political career grow. And I see how she, you know, became senator and defeated an incumbent Republican, Scott Brown. And just, you know, if you thought what she did to Mike Bloomberg was like, you know, assassin-like, go look at debate clips of what she did to Scott Brown when she became senator of Massachusetts. I mean, she is sharp. She is incredibly smart. I think, you know, it was one of those campaigns where if we recall, like, her momentum was really, like, there's a lot of progressives who were like,
and just a side note, the evisceration of Bloomberg likely helped Biden. She cleared the field for not Sanders, but I think Biden, because those people who might have been leaning toward Bloomberg seem to have gone for Biden.
Yeah. What if Elizabeth Warren eviscerated Joe Biden, right, in all this, like, at the time? Because I do think, like, you're starting to see Sanders say, okay, it's a two-person race. Now let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about the debate. This is, you know, which side are you on? This is what I believe in. This is what Joe did, you know, Iraq war, bankruptcy bill, Social Security. Like, there's going to be, like, Sanders is like, if I'm going to do this, like, we're going to do it. But I think with Warren, it's hard to tell. I mean, I think the heart of progressives say, well, wouldn't it be great if she endorsed Bernie Sanders? Which I think, to be honest with you, if she did, I would think it's on the same level as a Klobuchar Buttigieg moment with Biden. And I think it would need to get the same equal airtime and the same, like, you know, think pieces and the same, like, oh, look at this, like, Sanders is making a comeback. I'm highly skeptical that that would even happen with political media in the United States. But the fact is, like, if she did that, I think it would help Sanders. But I also think that Elizabeth Warren can do whatever she wants. I think it's important because I do think, to be honest with you, like, covering the campaign, you know, even when we've written pieces or publishing Associated Press stories about the election, you know, my outlet sometimes gets accused of, like, you know, being misogynist in a lot of ways. And I think that's very valid in the fact that there's been a lot of attention to older white men in the last 2 weeks, and Elizabeth Warren was still in the race and she was trying, and who got most of the free media. And I do think that it's very, it's unfortunate that in 2020, the Democratic Party, which, to be honest with you, is women rule the world. It's unfortunate that we won't, you know, whatever happens to Elizabeth Warren, I can't, you know, to have a campaign of just like two white men, older white men, in a place where you have a Democratic base that's much more diverse, like, that's a problem. And I don't know what's going through the mind of the Biden campaign in right. terms of who they want to pick. I'm not ready to predict. what I think needs to happen is, like, if we're going to, you know, if the Democratic Party really wants to have a soul searching here, let's have the soul searching. Let's have Sanders against Biden. Let's, you know, because it wasn't really done well when Clinton and Sanders did it. And maybe you have to go through that process. And I think the country and the Democratic Party and people that support Democrats need to sort of force the issue and not just say, well, you know, let's all about beating Trump right now. I think you need to see an evolution of the next couple of months of the Democratic platform, because that's going to make whoever the candidate is a much better candidate against Donald Trump. Because right now, hate to tell everyone, but the way it's being presented right now, Donald Trump is probably laughing all the way to the bank. Or the White House.
He certainly has Sorry. Been gleefully tweeting. Well, you know, the White House is his bank, sort of.
That's why you're the host and I'm just the guest. I like what you did.
Julio, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your work.
Thank you so much, as always.
My guest has been Julio Ricardo Varela, Digital Media Director for Futuro Media, founder of LatinoRebels.com, one of the top U.S. Latino media sites. And we've been talking about what happened on Super Tuesday. And by the way, if you missed our live broadcast on Super Tuesday evening, it's on our website at RisingUpWithSonali.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also sign up on that website for our daily newsletter and find out about our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.